الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. صدق الله العظيم. We were discussing yesterday to make our roza complete and perfect, and that which can be called roza, besides staying away from food, drink and our desires, we have to keep other rozas as well. And the one we are discussing is the roza of the eyes. And in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala, the clear ayat, and that should be a reminder to us all the time, that Allah has given us a command, has made it farad upon us, that whenever any haram comes, then we must cast our gazes low. We must look down. And this is, as we had explained, a command that Allah has given specifically for women also, that they also must cast their gazes low. They must not look at any other strange man also. Otherwise, all the commands are generally given for both. Allah gives a command for the man, and in that the woman are included. But yet this was so important, and in the Quran Sharif there isn't a single zabar, zair, harkat, arab which is extra, not a single letter which is extra, and that so many words Allah used, that shows how important this command is. In the Hadith Sharif, in Mishkat Sharif, we read the Hadith, la'anallahu an-nadhir wal-manzur ilay, that Allah's la'anat is upon the person who looks, that means looks at other women or looks at young boys with a bad intention, and for the one that presents himself to be looked at. If a woman dresses in that way, she does not cover herself properly, she walks intentionally past men, so the man must look at her. On both of them, the Hadith Sharif says that Allah's la'anat is upon that person. La'anat is opposite of rahmat, that where Allah's rahmat, Allah's mercy, Allah's kindness. And where Allah's rahmat is not, then it is Allah's la'anat, Allah's curses, Allah's anger upon that person. Yea, in this world, any person who becomes angry, then even if we are not involved in that argument, but we don't like it, how that person is behaving. And if somebody becomes angry upon you, and it is somebody who is your muhsin, somebody who does good to you, and you have upset him so much that he becomes angry on you, then how can you take that? If you understand that this person, yeah, he is, as far as sabab is concerned, he gives me my rosy, he sees to my needs, whatever, and he has become angry. Yeah, Allah's anger, and Allah is fa'ile haqiqi, is only Allah Ta'ala. Rosy, our life has been given to us by Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is our muhsin haqiqi, our real muhsin. Our muhsin azam is Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as far as sabab is concerned. But muhsin haqiqi, the real being that has shown every favor, and there are billions of favors which we cannot imagine, we cannot think of, which Allah Ta'ala has done to us. What favors hasn't Allah Ta'ala? Allah brought us into existence from non-existence. هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينُ مِنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. There was that time for every human being when he was not even شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا, not even spoken about, his zikr was not made. If a person's age is 40 years today, 41 years ago, his parents also did not speak about him. It is only when the mother conceived and she told the father, I think now that we're going to have a baby, then they started talking, making dua, Allah must give a good child, pious child, it must be a boy, it must be a girl, we'll keep this name, we'll do this, whatever it was. But before that, you are not even a thing spoken about. And by Allah, scientists say matter cannot be created and cannot be destroyed. But by Allah Ta'ala, that is a total false statement. Allah Ta'ala creates from nothing. The thing is not in existence. The matter also Allah Ta'ala creates. Allah created human being. And how did Allah create a human being? Min nutfah. just from one drop of semen. And that also, before that, if a person goes further back, that semen was made from blood. Blood was made from the food we ate. Food that was made from, as Allah Ta'ala says, min sulalatim min teen. When water fell onto sand, it became mud. And then the thing started growing. Wheat grew, corn grew, grass grew, the sheep, goats ate the grass, then mutton was made, mealies grew, chicken ate the chicken, then we had a chicken, we had fowls to eat, everything was made from there. That is our origin, where this sand. And also Mufassirin have written that Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was made like when mud becomes dry and it becomes hard. From that Allah Ta'ala has made Adam alayhi salam. Every human being is made from that. Then it will, the blood, the food is eaten. From there then blood is made. From the blood semen is made. From there a child is Allah Ta'ala. And what, so how Allah has made us. And then Allah's great qudrat, how He has made insan. Allahu Akbar. That is in that one drop of semen. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ تُرَابٍ. That goes back again there. ثُمَّ إِذَا أَنْتُمْ بَشَرٌ تَنْتَشِرُونَ. Allah made you then into a bashar, a human being, and you spread out everywhere in the world. And what have you done in the world? A grandmother, grandfather, Eid's day, any occasion, social occasion, they say, I want all my children, all my grandchildren to come. It's a day of happiness for them. And they feel so happy that this child made so much taraweeh, this child made tafsir there, that child did this here. They become happy and they speak about it. If Adam alayhi salatu wasalam have to see his zurriyat, how they have spread in the world, what roads they have made, what buildings they have made, what aeroplanes they have made, what submarines, what cars they have made, what and what they have made. So we get impressed with a walkie-talkie doll. That doll just can take 5-10 steps. And what is recorded in the doll, it will just speak that. That is all. But how we get so impressed with that? Allah who made this insan, that this insan, he laughs also. And he talks also. He thinks also. He plans also. He changes his plans also. He hasn't just got something, he's not computerized, that he can just work in that one pattern. But what and what? He feels happy, he feels sad. What and what? How? When Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was asked, فَمَا رَبُّكُمَا يَا مُوسَى. Musa, you say you are Allah, you are claiming Fir'aun, he called himself أَنَا رَبُّكُمَ الْعَالَى. I am the big Allah. Then who are you? From where you came? Who is your Rabb? Where this other Rabb came out from? Who is he? Musa alayhi salatu wasalam replied, رَبُّنَا الَّذِي أَعْطَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ ثُمَّ هَدَى. Allah is the architect of everything and the engineer of everything. And how, what an architect and what an engineer. If you think of the ostrich, what a big heavy bird it is, and its two thin legs. But what engineering has gone in, and how the two thin legs support. If you think of the camel, أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبِلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ. How Allah has made the camel, that it is, how it travels in the deserts, and the desert storms when they come, and that wind that blows, then mountains move. One today mountain is this side, the desert storm has moved the whole mountain to another side. This whole camel will get covered. But Allah made its legs thin compared to its body. So the sand just passes through. And it had to be high. Otherwise it will get covered also in the sand. But then it won't serve its purpose. It's so high. How are you going to climb on it? How are you going to put your goods? It's one animal that Allah has given two knees. A collapsible, foldable ladder. That you can fold your ladder. So it sits right down and you climb up and you sit on it very easily. And then it, so two knees this animal Allah Ta'ala has given. And if you want to see Allah Ta'ala, Allahu Akbar. Allah has shown that you can see Allah everywhere. If you are in a desert, What are you going to see? Allah Ta'ala. But Allah Ta'ala depicts a Bedouin in the desert on top of his camel. And you can see Allah Ta'ala through and through. That you are on your camel, you are in the desert, there is no other scenery. But see how Allah has made this camel of yours. And it, the legs of it collapsible. Then Allah put a water reservoir. In another ayat Allah says, وَمَا أَنْتُمْ لَهُ بِخَازِنِينَ. This water you cannot reserve, you cannot, well, you haven't got a reservoir to store it. If Allah Ta'ala's system was such as we would like to also perhaps in our limited thinking, our thinking is so short, our intelligence is so limited that we always want to have a lot of things. I must have this bank balance, I must have so much, I must have so much. If we wanted everything and we only feel comfortable when we got everything and it's in our hands. So if Allah gave us our water for our whole life when we were born, when you were a baby, when you could do absolutely nothing for yourself, your eyes were not opening and you were going to use 2 million liters of water in your life. And 2 million liters for one person is very little. But even just that amount, if there is so much, and Allah gave us that water now. And now you must look after it. And wherever you go, you carry all your water with you. What should happen? But Allah gives us our water wherever we go. And then again, after we drink water, we urinate. And if that also Allah did not make the intizam for it to go away, you must have another big reservoir to store all that also. So everyone walking with 2 reservoirs, one side clean water and one side this filthy water. How Allah Ta'ala has made it. Allah gave us all that. So Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala, so that camel, it's got a reservoir. In the desert, it's not going to get water everywhere. How Allah has made it, it can go for days and days without water. So, but look at the camel, how does it look? What you going to enjoy looking at the camel all the time? You take this lessons of seeing the Qudrat of Allah, the existence of Allah Ta'ala. But now you're going to get tired. How long are you going to see the camel? So Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِلَى السَّمَاءِ كَيْفَ رُفِعَتْ. Now you get tired, look at the sky. How Allah has raised the sky. How Allah has made the sky. And Allah has made the sky in such a way that it has got no, just a small masjid. We have got 4 walls, anything. Without the 4 walls, it will collapse. And then on top of that, we got 2 columns here to support the roof, to support the slab on top. Allah Ta'ala's whole huge sky, and the earth is just one, the sun also is below the sky. What a big roof it is Allah has made, but not a single thing to support it. No columns, no walls, nothing. When our Shaykh Damat Barakatuhum explained the subject, then he explained it and Mir Sahib put it in poetic form. The subject was Hazrat and the poetic form Mir Sahib put it. He says, Ardo Sama, kaise hai muallak? The earth and the sky, how is it just suspended in space? Koi sutun hai na koi tham. There are no columns, there are no chains or anything holding it up. Sare alam be kalam. Every planet without any support whatsoever. Wahre mere Rabbul Alam, Wahre mere Rabbul Alam. Oh my Allah, how have you made it? Allahu Akbar. If a person is to consider this, we know the earth, we see it, we see the map of it in an atlas, in a book form, and we see it in a round ball form also. And this round ball form, it is just suspended like that in space. There is nothing holding it. One bright spark who thought he was a bright scientist, he told one Maulana that this earth is not suspended just like that. It is due to atmospheric pressure and due to magnetic forces that is holding it up. So Maulana had a walking stick and he gave that person 1 shot on his head. So he told, that's your problems. You people can't give us answers. Then you resort to violence. Maulana said, I didn't hit you. So he said, on top of it, you're lying also. You hit me? He said, no, I did. He said, then what happened? He says, the magnet in your head, pull the magnet in the stick and the stick came on your head. And you must make shukr, you got a very small magnet in your head. Your brains are very small. If it was a big magnet, it should pull the stick with so much force that your head should break in two. So then he realized it's not magnetic forces, there is some controller. And even if it is atmospheric pressure and magnetic forces, who created it? And who put the power of magnet in magnet? That magnet, the power of magnet is not in iron, it's not in steel, not in some alloy, it's only in magnet. Who spread all this magnet in the earth? And with this magnet, everything is working. So, Allah tabaraka ta'ala. So this whole earth, just suspended like that. Nothing that is holding it up. There are no columns at the bottom. There is no, there are no chains holding it up. Just suspended like that. And then again, not only suspended. ذَلِكَ تَقْدِيرُ الْعَزِيزِ الْعَلِيمِ. That Allah ta'ala made the earth to spin on its orbits. And we have 365 days. And then again, we have our summer and winter. How it moves around the sun, how it moves day and night, continuously. And we have to set our watch according to sunset and sunrise. With what precision the sun rises and the sun sets in a specific place. Here in Azadwell, today, according to the English calendar, the system works according to the sun, the solar system. That today, the 24th of August, what time sun rose today, 2010, 1910, 100 years ago, it rose exactly at that moment. And 2110, another 100 years, at that moment, again it rises. How perfect Allah's system. Allah is khallaqi azim. And Allah ta'ala, taqdeerul azizil alim. What system, what kudrat of Allah. So Allah tabaraka ta'ala, who has made the earth like this. And it is all just suspended like this. And then the sky. We know the roof. It saves us from rain, from cold, from heat, from how many things. From crooks also, if it was open on top, people should have jumped into the houses. It protects us. Allah only knows the sky, what it is protecting us from. What things are beyond the sky, and what the sky is protect, and the whole sky also, without any support whatsoever. Now just this roof, we need so much support for it. And the whole sky, Allah has made it so round, and there is no support of it, and it's also, and there are seven skies, it's not only this one sky. And what greater things are beyond that, only Allah Ta'ala knows. And in this, the sky also, Allah Ta'ala invites us that, yeah, for example, we are doing a building, and when you do the foundations, the inspector comes and see whether your foundations, you have done them right or not. And then, many times, the poor inspector hardly sees the foundation. He is drinking tea, and he has to sign a paper there. They put samosas and tea for him, and here he's signing, he doesn't know what's happening there. But Allah's inspection is not like that. Allah says, Hal tara min futur? Did you see any crack in Allah's sky? Allah's inspection, and then, thumma rji' al-basar. Turn again, and look, check again, make another inspection. Karratain. And not only twice, over and over, to make your inspection. Till today, did you find one crack in the sky anywhere? How perfect is Allah Ta'ala. So such a great being, and He has created all this. And then again, while we're speaking on that aspect of Allah's Qudrat, look at the earth which is round. Round. And we know that, for example, a glass of water, there is glass at the bottom or plastic, whatever is at the bottom, so the water doesn't fall at the bottom. But if you turn the glass around, all that water will fall out. The earth, which has got 2/3 of water, and all the places at the bottom, Cape Town, the south of America, the south of Australia, at the bottom, and every other island or every other continent also, at the bottom there is only water. All of us must have gone to the sea, or we know about it. That at the bottom, did we ever find plastic or glass holding the water up? And it is suspended. The earth is suspended like that. And water is at the bottom. And if you turn your glass around, not one drop will stay. All the water. Whose qudrat is it? Which magnet is it that has got control over water? Magnet works with steel. And this water, not one drop of water falls out from at the bottom. Right? If it was, and there's nothing holding that water. Whose qudrat is it that this water does not fall out? Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, how great. And also the earth which is round, the people who are on top, it is quite clear, the legs are at the bottom, the heads are on top, the cars, the wheels are at the bottom, the bodies on top, buses, trains, everything. But at the bottom in Cape Town and all the places in the south, there the wheels are on top and the body is at the bottom. The people's legs are on top and the head is at the bottom. But today did we ever see an announcement made in newspapers, TV, that in Cape Town people are walking all upside down? Till today did we ever hear? Allah Ta'ala made it, and Allah's Qudrat, that Allah makes the impossible. For Allah there is nothing impossible. There are things which are impossible for us, not for Allah Ta'ala. So much so, Maulana Jalaluddin Rum Rahmatullah has explained this, for example, to see you need light. And you need two lights, light outside and the light of your eyes also. If you're a blind person, you can't see, though there is light outside. Outside also there must be light. And of the eye, the thing that sees, if people have got blue eyes, green eyes, brown eyes, whatever color eyes. But what part of the eye sees is not that color of the eyes. Inside, in the middle of that, the pupil, that is the part of the eye that looks. And that every person's is black. Even if you got blue eyes, you got green eyes, but the pupil of every person is black. And it is that what looks. So Allah had put light in blackness. What is the qudrat of Allah? So Allah's qudrat is above everything. So the water at the bottom, not one drop can fall. Not did we ever hear that human beings are all dropping into space. Magnet doesn't work on human beings, it works on steel. So if it's some magnetic force that keeps the human, how magnet is not going to keep? Whose qudrat is it that nobody is falling? You don't see them, that they are upside down. Water is a thing that always flows from top to bottom. And so the water, the waves that come at the top of continents, from the top to the bottom, can understand that. But whose qudrat is it that from the bottom here, waves are going up also. In Cape Town, all the southern places, the waves go upwards. Water's work is not going up. Did we ever find pumps put there that is pumping the water to go up? No pumps also. And then again, water is a thing that when it flows down, it doesn't stop. It carries on flowing. So the water, the waves that come from the top, who stops it at the coast, on the shore? And then, like a dog with its tail between its legs, it goes back, all those waves go back again. And whose qudrat is this? Don't we say such a muhsin, such a creator? And then Allahu Akbar. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala created us. If we just have to think that if somebody has to bring a topi from us, for us from Makkah Sharif, Madinah Sharif, we will say Jazakallah. You thought of us, the topi is how much? 15 riyals, 20 riyals, 2 riyals, 5 riyals, whatever it might be. And if we have got that akhlaq in us, we'll go home and phone him again. We'll send him a thank you, Jazakallah card, also letter. Jazakallah, you thought of us, you brought a topi for us. For one topi of 15 riyals, so much shukriya. But if we did not have the head, where should we wear the topi on? And who gave us the head? Allah gave us the head. And Allah gave it free of charge. Till today, think, did we ever make shukr to Allah, you gave us a head? If we didn't have this head, then where should we wear the topi? Where should we wear the amama? On what should we wear it? And then again, Allah didn't give us an empty head. Allah gave us a head full of brains. And not short little bit. If we were 5 bob short in our brains, every little child also will be playing fools with us. We would have been like mad people. And everyone should have been playing fools with us. People should make a joke about us. And then again, Allah Ta'ala, the screw, Allah did not leave it loose or turn it too tight. Like somebody, we tell somebody, your screw is loose or something. Or your screw is too tight. And there is no real screw. Somebody might think, my wife always giving me pins and giving me hell. Her screw must be too tight. So when I get back out of after itikaf, I'll loosen a screw a little bit. There is no screw there, but Allah has taught it perfectly for every person. Who don't we see the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala in our brains? How, and in that one drop of sperm, today we are so taken aback with a chip. That a chip, you put it on an animal, or they want to put it on human beings, you can trace them wherever they are, what they are doing, what they are saying, you can follow it on your computer, wherever they are in the world. But Allah has made this human being from that semen, that chip, in which Allah has put the material of the eyes also. And in that Allah has put the material of the nails also. And in that one small piece of chip, Allah has put the material of this hair also, the skin also, of the heart also, which is what material, of the brains again, which is different, of the bone, the skull bone, which is so hard to protect the brain, and the brain is so soft, and all that material is in that one little chip, in that one little drop of sperm. Allah has put everything. Don't we see? And Allah has done all that for us. What muhsin haqiqi. How kind is not Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is the one who gives us your one plate of biryani you have. Allahu Akbar. And in that you have basmati rice from Pakistan. You have butter from New Zealand. You have zafran from Spain. You have mutton from the Karoo. You have your masalas from Zanzibar, from Malawi. You have your vegetables planted in which farm. All that in one plate. Your 20 rand a plate, 30, 40 rand a plate. Can it ever pay for that? You can't pay for one grain of rice. That rice that was grown in Pakistan, wherever, Indonesia, wherever in the world it was grown. Who made the ground? And then who made, how many people were working? How many tractors? And if you think of the whole tractor industries, the people who make, there is steel, there is diesel, there is plastic, what and what things on that. Then that one tractor could be made. And then after that, they plowed the land, they planted the seeds, and then it had to be soaked in water. All that water, that ground is only good for rice cultivation. And after that, again, it had to be picked, it had to be put in bags again. These bags, the whole bag industry. And then it was transported by trucks. All the truck industries again. And the roads were required. People who make roads. And how many people work. And 1 kilometer of road to make it. How lot people have to work. Then it had to get to the docks. At the docks, for the docks to be docks. The cranes. And then all the computer. How many people. Then the ships again. The building of the ships. Then it came here to Durban, whichever port. From there it had to be offloaded again, the whole process of trucks, of roads, of rail transport, whatever. Then it went to the wholesalers, it went to the retailers, and we went and buy 1 kilo of rice for about 15, 20 rand, whatever. Can this pay for that whole process? Never. This is only Allah's ihsan. What a muhsin Allah Ta'ala is. And He gives us again, Allahu Akbar. It's only insan that Allah has given him his rosy, a variety of rosy. And then his rosy is spiced again. And how doesn't he spice it? Elephant, whole life only eats grass. And leaves, grass. A lion only eats meat. He doesn't cook the meat. He doesn't add salt. He doesn't add masala. He doesn't add anything to it. He just eats meat like that. Insan is that one that he has go. He eats rice also. He eats meat also. And meat again. Mutton also. Poultry also. Fish also. Everything. Eggs again. And what a mizaj, what an insan. I'm not happy with this. See the children in the house. This I don't want. That I don't want. I'm not eating this. I'm not eating that. Allah sees to have Allahu Akbar. If a person has to get guests, and the one guest phone and says, I got high blood. Please, if you can accommodate me, that you cook food for me without salt, etc. Another one phones and he says, I got sugar. If you can prepare for me, but please, no sugar. Another one says, I got cholesterol. Another one says, he phones and he says, I'm allergic to this. Another one, you'll have to tell them, please, you stay at home. Please, you don't come here. But Allah Ta'ala's makhluk, lions, diet is completely different. ants diet is completely different. A fly's diet is completely different. Mosquito, its diet is different. Allah gives it its rosy also. Insan also, and Allah is giving us our whole life. One time Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam said to Allah, I want to invite your entire creation for meals, Allah, for 1 month. Allah said, impossible, Sulaiman alayhi salam, you'll never manage it. Then he begged and he said, coming down, he said, finally for 1 meal for breakfast. And he had in his army, what the army here, jinnats were in his army also. They prepared for so long for that one breakfast. And when it was ready, Allah sent one fish from the sea. And it ate all of that up in one morsel, one niwala, one lukma. And then it says, I want more. He says, you ate everyone's food. The whole creation is still coming. You ate everyone and you want more. He says, my Allah gives me 3 morsels like this every day. So, and yet the whole, Allahu Akbar. If we have to just imagine, see, every individual year, everyone has got his appetite. Somebody bigger appetite, somebody smaller. But whatever our appetite is, somebody will say, he eats a lot. And he eats so much, whatever it might be. One person, when Muslims came, Indian Muslims, when they came new to South Africa, roughly about 130, 40 years ago, late 1800s, early 1900s, and most of them at that time, they used to do hawking. No shops, no houses, nothing, they were hawkers. And on a Wednesday was a public holiday that time. And they used to come back to Johannesburg to buy their goods for the week again. And they should go on the farms and do hawking that time. So, and there also, that is also ajeeb. One Maulana Sulaiman Ananwi, rahmatullah alayhi, very pious person, used to be in Middleburg. He when I returned from Maulana Yaz's grandfather, he's, yeah, mashallah, his grandfather, he was a very pious person, and his wife made him hafiz. And he was a murid of Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, and an ashik of Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullah alayhi. So one time, where the Varacha family in Hackwood, they live, still there is one family there. So, and he was very close to them, and when he was staying with them, he told them, I would like to go for a walk. It was a Saturday afternoon, to the river at the bottom. So they knew there are white people living on that road. And at that time, nobody wore kurtas. It has only started round about the 70s. Before that, nobody, even many ulama, they had come on to shirts already. And those who wore kurtas, they put it into their trousers. The white trouser, nobody wore. It was just a pant, a trouser. And used to put the kurta inside the trouser. That was very common. And then again, to hide the kurta, they used to wear a sherwani on top to hide the kurta also. It was a different time, but Maulana wore his kurta, and his kurta was out. So those people thought that these white people will make a mockery out of us when we go there. So they tried and put off Maulana that we won't go for the walk, but he insisted he wanted to go. So when they went, as they went past this white people's houses, they called them. They called them Abram in those days. Abram, komiso, come here. So when they went there, so they were now convinced they're going to. So what they told them, they said, people who used to dress like this, we had great respect for them. And it was such, when they used to do their hawking, when they say the white woman, the Dutch woman, didn't know anything about money. They couldn't count, they didn't know. They should just put their money in front of them. That how much it has come out to, you take your money. And they had so much trust in them. They would give them place to sleep in their houses. They would respect them and give them coffee, etc. They were particular of the food, but coffee, etc., they would drink there. And they said, these are the people who we used to call Arabira, Arabs. And we had great respect for them. He says, but then these others who were there, he says, you people dressing with the shirt and trouser, you are the ones we call coolies, which is a very derogatory term. And we got no respect for you people. So this clothing also, and these people were, their character was like that. They were so upright. They were not really learned in dunya, not at all. In deen also they were not learned. But they had so much, they commanded so much of respect. Anyway, so on a Wednesday, they used to return to Joburg, buy their wares again, and then go out for the whole week. So there was one person who was who had a restaurant those days, and in Johannesburg, and he used to cook biryani on a Wednesday because these people, they didn't have anything to eat, so he used to cook biryani for them. And he had made a ruling on a Wednesday that you pay 1 shilling. Those days was shillings, pounds and shillings and pence. And you pay 1 shilling and you can eat as much as you want to. One person by the name of Ismail Amto, what a name also, Ismail Amto, he ate 10 plates of biryani. So that owner came after that, he gave me shilling back again. And he said that, please, you take your shilling, but you never come back to my restaurant again. So there were those types of people. In the UK, there are those farms, like strawberry farms, cherry farms. You go, you can eat as much as you want to free of charge. What you take with you, you pay. Our people started going, they only ate there. When they went empty-handed. So the people were losing out. They closed this offer also. That doesn't pay. It's not possible. That they only come and eat here, and when they go, they don't buy anything. So anyway, so when we eat, a person's appetite, maybe he eat 10 plates of biryani also. But compared to one person, all of us who eat here in the Khanqa, one person's food is hardly anything compared to all together what we are eating. What we are eating here in the Khanqa compared to the whole of Azadwal is negligible. It is nothing. What all the people of Azadwal are eating compared to the whole of Krukasdorp, Mukhalisati, it's negligible. It's nothing. And all the people of Mukhalisati, who can invite all the people of Azadwal for one meal? The whole of Azadwal. Forget the whole of Mukhalisati. And then again, what the people of Mukhalisati eat for one supper tonight, how much is that? But compared to the whole of Gauteng, it's nothing, not even a drop in the ocean. And the whole of Gauteng, how much they are eating for one supper, who can work it out? Compared to the whole of South Africa, what is that? Nothing. And the whole country, South Africa, what are you going to eat tonight for supper? How much is that? But compared to Africa, and Africa compared to the world, Allah is feeding the whole world. And not only one, two meals, and not only one, two diets, everyone his specific diet. And fresh, fresh food all the time. It's our problem that we go and put it in a mortuary, in a deep freeze. We go and store it up. We close it up in tins and that. But Allah gives fresh food all the time. And if we maintain a proper system till today, we can be eating fresh. Otherwise, today we are proud that we eat so good food. But in industrialized Western countries, we eating stale, stale food. Whether it's fish, whether it's poultry, whether it's flour, whatever. And if you go to any village in Africa, in Asia, those people daily, in India, twice a day, people will come with their fresh vegetables and sell at the house. Fresh, fresh vegetables. No mortuary and no the deep freeze. And then the microwave, which is like the fire of Jahannam again. You take it from the mortuary and you put it into the fire of Jahannam. And then you're eating that food. Allah Ta'ala provides for us fresh. How muhsin-e-azam, muhsin-e-haqiqi, how Allah Ta'ala is giving us. In any aspect, when you get your baby, you get your grandchild, and you look at the child, you want to eat up the child, you want to suck the child and lick the child. How wonderful. But who made the two small little cheeks? Who made that small little nose? Who fitted those two little ears in there? And not just dummy, but real working things. And that brains inside, working brains, and legs and hands which are functioning. Who made all this? And where did Allah Ta'ala make it? Wallah yakhluqukum fi butuni ummahatikum, in the batan, the womb of your mothers. And that is such a small place that when the child is formed, it can't move its hands, legs properly also. Such a small place. In that small factory, يَخْلُقُكُمْ فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ خَلْقًا مِنْ بَعَدِ خَلْقٍ, one form of creation after another. مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ ثُمَّ مِنْ أَمْسَاجٍ, all different places Allah has mentioned. How the stages of the child is made. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ سُلَالَةٍ مِنْ طِينٍ ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُطْفَةً فِي قَرَارٍ مَكِينٍ. ثم جعلنا النطفة علقة فخلقنا العلقة مضغة فخلقنا المضغة عظاما فكسونا العظام لحما ثم أنشأناه خلقا آخر فتبارك الله أحسن الخالقين. How Allah has made this child, what a muhsin Allah, and all free of charge. Allah gave us two eyes free of charge. May Allah protect us all. If we have just for glasses today, how much we have to pay for. And if you have to, your eye has to, you lose it in a car accident or something, to get one glass eye, which the whole world can see the eye, that this man got an eye. But with your eye, you can see nothing. It's a glass eye. So Allah tabaraka ta'ala, who gave us this two eyes and free of charge. One great abid who made ibadat of Allah ta'ala for 200 years. And he was in a place, it looks like some island he was in. And he made dua to Allah to make your ibadat, make provision for me. Allah gave him the, all around him the salty water of the sea. But Allah gave him a fountain with fresh water just where he was staying. And Allah had made a pomegranate tree that throughout the year it used to give two pomegranates, one in the morning, one in the evening. And so much of strength in the pomegranate, that was enough food for him. And he was just engaged in sincere, proper, 100% ikhlas ibadah. So much so, he was so mubarak that the malaika, when they should come with Allah's commands from the heavens, they should pass by him for barakat. They should take barakat, the farishtas should take barakat from him and then go and do their duties. When they return again, they pass by him and they take barakat from him. When he passed away, Allah Ta'ala told him, by my fazal, go enter Jannah. So, and fazal means what we can understand, free of charge, pansela. They just say, okay, I'm just allowing you, just go. So he said, Ya Allah, free of charge, my 200 years ibadat, where is that? So Allah said, okay, you want to make hisab, then let us make hisab. That for one eye, the payment for one eye by me is 200 years ibadat. So now, you pay me. So for one eye, all his ibadat got finished, 200 years. For the next eye, now what is he going to pay? And that unless ni'mats have hardly still started in the whole body. Then Allah Ta'ala told the farishtas, now he can't pay, take him to Jahannam. Then he looked around with pleading to Allah. Allah said, by my fazal, go enter into Jannah. So a person will enter Jannah only by the fazal of Allah. Now Allah's Rasul, the Imam al-Anbiya, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told that nobody will enter Jannah by his a'mal, only by the fazal of Allah. Hadrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, even you, O Rasulullah, he said, even me. So what favors of Allah ta'ala upon us, in whichever way a person can think, Allah ta'ala's untold and unlimited favors upon us. When Allah has favored us so much, one time, one family member of ours was ill in hospital, he has passed away, Allah grant all our marhumin Jannah. When we went and visit him, then as I entered the door of the ward, his son ran out to me. And he told me, today daddy for the first time ate food with his own hands. And we eating food all the time. Do we? The food we don't think of a ni'mat. We are complaining, we are squealing. Then that we can take the food and put it in our mouth. What a great ni'mat. Ask those people who can't eat themselves, somebody has to feed them. And then there are those people going to see in the hospitals, and now what's the condition of the hospitals? Otherwise, if you go and see in the hospitals, the old age homes, those nurses, how they treat that patient. And when you're not feeling to eat, but it's their time, they'll force that move food into your mouth. You can't eat as you want to, and they rush you and just put it in your mouth. How many people in their homes, the children get tired looking after the old people. And then how they treat those old people, that we can eat and we take a little bit of this, little chutney, little this, we put it in our, and Allahu Akbar. One time, Sheikh Abdu, who was of Egypt, Azhar, he visited India, and in the process he went to Darul Ulum Deoband very long ago, Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri rahmatullah alayhi's time. When they were eating, so he told Maulana Anwar Shah Kashmiri, Egyptians eat normally with spoon and fork. So he told him, you also eat with a fork. So Maulana, Allahu Akbar, what Allah gave them, immediately he put his hand like this and he said, I am eating with a fork. This is a fork also, four throngs of a fork. I am eating with a fork. And my fork is better than your fork by four ways. that first of all my fork feels the temperature of the food. Your fork cannot feel the temperature. If you put something too hot in your mouth, sometimes tea, hot, how it burns the lips, the tongue. But my fork can feel the temperature. Secondly, my fork can bend also. Your fork can't bend. And we see people who eat with spoon and fork, sometimes how they're trying to get that piece of meat or something. It's going this side, that side, with the other hand getting it, and then with your fingers you just catch it easily. And then he says, my fork, that after eating, my fork gives off a fluid. And I suck it and it, my food gets digested. Your fork doesn't give off any fluid. And thirdly, that was fourth. Thirdly, that my fork, if it has to hit against my teeth or gums, teeth, I don't get, it's no pain. But by your fork, if you hit by mistake, what a pain you get. And then I made a new edition of this and added two more things. That my fork is made by Allah. Allah made. Your fork, Chinese made. And Chinese, halfway the meal, it will break also. You won't, it won't even go through the whole meal. And then my, today is a time of hygiene everyone is worried about. So my fork, I wash it myself before I eat. Your fork, I don't know who washed it, how they washed it, with what they washed it. My fork is clean. So this the food, when we eat ourselves, we feel the temperature, we put it in our mouth, and we chew it properly, finish, then automatically the mind, Allah, what a mind Allah has made. A driver, when he's driving, and he sees the robot is there, the traffic light, how he doesn't work out with maths and go and work out a whole thing that from here I must start breaking so much, I must break. How Allah has put it in the brains, you break automatic when you have to give a sharp break according to that. When you're coming slowly to according, Allahu Akbar, now your food is finished in your mouth, your mind is working it out, what mathematical calculations are taking place. Now take your next morsel of food, what size must be the morsel of food again you eat. So we eat our own. And then those people who are on drips, who don't know what is samosa and don't know what is biryani, they are just on drips all the time. Do we make shukr ever? What are the favors of Allah tabarak? Then when I went and visited that patient, he was lying on the bed with his leg stretched out. He lifted his right leg little bit, not much, very, and he was so happy, saying, Monana, today first time I can lift up my leg. And we are walking around. Sometimes we are a bit late, we rush, and sometimes children, how they running, jumping, what, jumping over, what and what. All this, who has given us all this? To what a muhsin. And when we learn it of Allah, when we use our eyes wrong, we break His command. Who is such a muhsin, and we break His command. And this is not even a billionth of a billionth of billionth of Allah's favors upon us. And Allah said they don't look at the haram. And we break Allah's a little child, if the child is present, we don't make guna. The child is here. And we think of Allah smaller than a child also, weaker than a child also. We are frightened for the child and shame of the child. We don't make a guna. But Allah, and we know Allah is present, and we think Allah is smaller than a child, weaker than a child. Allah is more insignificant, Allah has got more or less value than a child, that we just break Allah's command. So we should observe Allah's commandment. And then Allah's lanat comes on that person who breaks the command of Allah Ta'ala. May Allah save us of this very great evil, which is a destroyer totally of all our actions and everything. May Allah realize it's a guna, at least that first the realization that this is a guna. It's a sin, it's a major sin. And then to make tawbah of this. And then Allah give us tawfiq to stay away from it. Our lives in this world will be Jannah's life when we get protected from one of these evils. There are endless evils which are in us, but one of them will go out. We will see what an enjoyable life we will have. May Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. Subhanallah.